We started last week talking about the mission of the church. I don't know, some people came to me after to ask for my notes. I said, I told you I wasn't going to give you my notes until I'm done. Okay? So, if you participate with me, we'll leave here early. Amen? Okay, now you can't be too quiet. All right? If you think what I'm saying is correct, say amen because of the person next to you. They may not know. Amen? So I want them to know what I'm saying is true. That's why you should always keep your Bibles open when I'm preaching. Okay. We started last week talking about the mission of the church. What is the mission of the church? And the quiz or whatever I gave you is going to continue today. You're going to help me to preach this message because this is not the type of message, Ramon, that I want people to just go away and say, oh, he said something good today. No, I want you to dialogue with me. I want you to be engaged with me. I need you to personalize this. Apply it to yourself. Because it is the most important thing that we Christians can think about. What is the mission of the church? Unfortunately, many times our churches are involved in so many things. And we major in the minors, and then minor in the majors. We don't put emphasis on what should be lifted up. What should be the priority of the church? That is why this message is extremely important. And I know we're taping it for the special, what I call the CME Christians. Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, yes. And now we have some people in the church. If you look around, you see a lot of empty chairs, right? If all our members are here, there should not be an empty chair. And I'm going to talk about it later on. If you want the church to grow, you've got to contribute. You've got to make it happen. It's not something you wish. You act toward making it possible. You can pray for the church to grow. There's nothing wrong with that. We declared a fast and we prayed for many months, even though a lot of people didn't really care about it because you didn't show up. You say, well, I care. I was praying at home. Okay. This is really important, the mission of the church. What should we be paying emphasis to? What should we be paying attention to? What should we as individuals, what should I be doing if this church is going to grow? I know we've only been here for 2 years. Okay. But there are many people to be reached. Petaluma and Sonoma County, if you look at the statistic, one of the unchurched places in the whole of California. It's amazing. Sometimes I'll be getting ready to come to church. The soccer field has more people than I meet when I come here. On a Sunday. And the culture is not diametrically different in the church. Because when I come here, many of you take shifts. Some of you are first Sunday Christians, some second Sunday Christians, some third and fourth Sunday Christians, and some come only on fifth Sundays. You cannot expect your church to grow when you're not there. And some of you will die if I tell you you're not a member. Amen. I want you to be engaged with me. Amen. Amen. Start thinking about it. And please don't say, the pastor was talking about me. I have absolutely nobody in mind but all of you. Okay, so last time we talked about how churches grow and how churches die. And they're almost the same. Biological, people are born in the church, and then we have more people. Because your children that are born, my niece is staying at home today, and my sister, they're staying at home because the contractions are getting a little bit closer and closer. That's what we call biological growth. Of course, they're going to have the baby and they're going to go back to Nigeria. So, but let's say they were here, they stay here, you know, they become part of the congregation. The child becomes part of the congregation. The child becomes part of our Sunday school. The child becomes part of our children's church. That's how we grow. We grow biologically. What's the other way we grow? Well, that's the best one. Okay, thank you. Let's reserve that right now. Yes, Rosalind. Transfer. Don't get them all mad now. Okay? I use a really, really political title. Transfer of membership. Yes. Wait a minute. Let me deal with number two first. Okay? Transfer of membership. Please. I am not saying there's something wrong with you transferring your membership from one church to another. Okay? I'm saying that's one of the ways in which we grow. People transfer because of their job, because of their relocation or whatever. They're finding, they're looking for a church. They came here. A church seems decent to them, and they want to be part of it. That's one of it. Because of? Okay. There are a lot of reasons. Okay, you guys have to let me preach today. Okay, so that's one of the ways. That's one of the ways, transfer of membership. You go to a church, you get a transfer letter from your church to come to another church, or if you're not a member in that church per se, you're just moving, you come here, you say you are a Christian, we give you questions, we be part of it. And the other thing is that even if you transfer from another church here, we welcome you with open arms. We do. The family of God. And wherever you feel comfortable, that's where you should be. Okay? And even if you're not comfortable and you feel you can add to the life of that church, that's where you should be. Are you with me? Okay, so the other one that Mark already said is evangelism, which is the best way that we want to grow. Evangelism is reaching out, and we're going to devote more time to that. Plus, we're starting a class this Monday. Okay, we're starting a class this Monday on how to evangelize and how to disciple. All right. So we are going to do a wonderful class to help you do what is the most important for the church. Now, we're going to see how many of you are going to show up. Amen. The only person that should have an excuse not to come is if you have led 20 people to Christ this year. Okay, so. And we die as a church also biologically. People grow old and die. Some don't grow old, they just die. Death happens in the church. And when a member dies, the role is decreased. That's probably the worst way. But, you know. Sometimes, of course, even that can be a time of rejoicing. Right? Amen. So, we biologically and transfer also. Amen. As people transfer from other places for whatever reason, people will transfer from our church for whatever reason. And the last one is the opposite of evangelism. It's when people just don't care about their faith, and soon they're going to die. When you don't show up for church, when you don't show up for Sunday school, you don't show up for cell group, midweek study of the Bible and the message that the pastor has preached, little by little by little, you're getting callous. When you started doing something, let's say you get a job to be a lawnmower or whatever, you know, you're cutting grass and you start using the lawnmower, right? The first stage is very painful. I know, I've done it. That's how I go through college. Right? It's very painful. And a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, pretty soon you're not feeling the pain anymore. And then you're wondering, why is my hand getting real tough? The same thing happens when you start doing bad things and you keep doing them, pretty soon they don't even seem bad to you anymore. You grow callous to them. You don't feel them. Amen? Amen. You come to church every other Sunday. You keep doing that, pretty soon it'll be normal. Every other Sunday, Christian, yes, yeah, I am. Amen. I know you're going to be quiet today. You're going to be quiet. Amen. Amen. Adam, I need to hear you say amen so everybody can know I'm doing okay. Now, some of you come late every Sunday. Come late to Sunday school. Come late to cell group. Come late to church service, pretty soon we'll be calling you the late mister. That's the problem, is when you keep doing it, it becomes normal. There are some of you here in this church, if you came on time for a meeting, I will have a heart attack. Amen. Some of you, I'm looking at you right now. You know who you are. And I think it's because you've made it part of your life. You know, it's fashionable to be late. Why is the pastor talking about coming late to church? It's because when we develop the bad habit of putting the least important things first and the most important thing last, it becomes part of our life. Just do it normally. Amen. If you're at church and we're singing, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah, how great that. I don't even know how anybody can keep their mouth shut with singing "How Great Thou Art." But if you're used to not doing it, it doesn't bother you. Get away from that neighborhood. God doesn't want you in there. Amen. God wants you in the neighborhood where people can lift their hands and praise God and rock a little bit, you know. Dance for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. The Bible says, given the sacrifice of what? Praise, which is what? The fruit of your lips. How many of you think I can preach without opening my mouth? It sounds horrible to you or very, you know, nonsensical, but it's the same thing. You say you're praising the Lord, you don't open your mouth. Amen, lights. Okay, I'm not in my sermon yet. I'm just warming up. Okay. I need two ushers to sit right here in the front. One more usher. Come on, usher. You're too slow. Okay. So you're going to help me because I want you to be involved. Now, what happens? Now you're going to seminary. You become so sophisticated. You're walking slow here. What did your husband do to you? Okay. Joe, you're in trouble. I won't see you in my office after. Okay, I'm going to need about 30 volunteers. So raise your hand if you want to be a volunteer. When you give it out, okay, give one to each person that raises their hands, the volunteers. Volunteers, if we still have paper left and people are not raising their hands, except for the visitors, I'm going to force it on them to take it. Okay, this is what I'm doing. Before you put your hands down, okay, this is the mission statement of our church. I want you to fill it out. I have helped you a little bit. Okay? I want you to fill it out real quick. Shouldn't take you but a second. There's still some in the back there. Okay. She has some. She has some left. And I want you to come back and sit in the front, Charlena, when you're done. I'm taking you from your husband. Okay. Okay, thank you. One more visit, one more, okay? Charlena wants one. Oh. Okay. All right. Who's done? All right. Put your name on it, please. Put your name on it. You're done. Okay. Give them back to the ushers. Give them back to the ushers. Well, you know what? No. Give them back to. Give it. Give them the paper. Give Brother Oren back his paper. Hold on to your paper. Just put your name on it. Okay. If you're not done by now, you don't know it. Okay. If you're not done by now, what was that? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, he said deacon. He should have been obeying what I asked you to do. All right. So, now, some of you are still writing. Okay, the ushers are still writing. That's okay. Nobody else should be writing. Okay. Let me see your hand if you think you got it right. Okay. Let me see your hand again. Okay, let's get them back then. Ushers, collect them. 24 must be correct. I'm going to check them. If you said you got it right, you did. Okay. Okay, now do me a favor. If we have visitors here, I have about 3 left. If you want to give it to... Thank you. Okay, we're done. Okay, I'm not taking any more. Okay. All right. This is the blank. Village Baptist Church exists to win people to Christ. If you buy a drink from the store and you try to find out the ingredients in the drink, the first one they list is the most important ingredient in that drink. Amen? Well, if you're looking at it and they list it, if they say sugar and you're diabetic, put it down. Okay, that's it. You cannot escape that. So we're saying the thing you cannot escape about Village Baptist Church is what? To win people to Christ. Notice it said people. Okay? It didn't say black. It didn't say white. It didn't say children. It didn't say adults. It didn't say young people. It said win people to Christ. I have always emphasized this, and this is not the first time I'm doing this, and this is not going to be the last time I'm doing it. If our church doesn't look like our society, we are not a true church. God did not want us to be a black church. God does not want you to be a white church. In fact, when the church started, it started with the Jews. And it didn't take that long that God sent the message to them, especially when he got to Ephesus, is that I want my church to be a church that is filled with Jews and Gentiles. You can't discriminate. We win people to Christ. And when you win people to Christ, you have to make sure that your church is conscious of the fact that you are a people mixed. Okay, I heard some loud amens, but amen. Now, remember that the early church had the same problem that you're going to have if you're trying to be the true church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Even in the church, racism comes up. Tribalism comes up. That's why they actually started having deacons in the church, because some class and some set of people felt they were being neglected. And they kept bringing that problem to the apostles. The apostles said, well, that's not our job. You're going to choose some people among you so they can take care of that. Nobody in the church should be neglected. And we should intentionally make sure that our church is not a black church. That our church is the church of Jesus Christ. So you win people to Christ. Amen? So we also said, and develop them into what?
Active disciples.
We're not doing a good job because we still have people that are not disciples. The word Christian was used 3 times in the Bible. 3 times in the New Testament. Only 3. The followers of Jesus were called other names other than Christians. They were followers of the way, and most of the time, they were what? Disciples. Amen. Many of us today cannot be disciples. Because the limit of your Christianity is just coming to church on Sunday. Yeah, I know you go. If you have stones, you'll be stoning me right now. Develop them into disciples. I think I have tried. Right? You can take the horse to the water. Amen. Many of us, we don't have arthritis all week until Wednesday. My arthritis acting up. And you were playing bingo on Tuesday. I know the angels are smiling. You may be frowning, but it's okay. Making them into disciples. Thank you. You are active. Some of you want to join the church. After you join the church, it will take me a flashlight to find out where you are. That's why I don't make anybody an officer of this church and responsible for anything until you've been with me for years. I'm not talking about you using your gift in the church. When you come in the church and you become part of this church, there's no waiting for when you use your gift. But to put you in position of responsibility as a deacon, as a team leader, as an elder of this church, you have to be here for years. I need to know I can trust you. I need to know you're not a CME Christian. I need to know you're not an excitable Christian in the honeymoon period. We have people who will come excited. And Paul said, it's without knowledge. Amen. Even if you get mad at me, you get mad at your wife, you get mad at your husband, you get mad at your parents, you get mad at your children, get mad at them. What did God do to you? Amen. Why are you staying home because you got mad at me? I don't own the church. Amen. You don't come here to worship me. Amen. Please let me know so I can run away if you're here to worship me. Yeah, I don't want to die young. Some of you probably say, you're already old. Developing them into what? Active disciples. I'd rather have 10 active disciples than have 100 Christians. Look at the passage we use as the base passage for the preaching. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, it says very well that they devoted themselves, those who became Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to this and to prayer and all. You have to devote yourself to the word of God, to the worship of God, to the praise of God, to prayer and to worship if you are going to be an effective and active disciple. Don't let somebody worship God for you. If we wanted that, we'll have a choir. And they'll sing, you clap when you want to, and you don't clap when they stink. Right? But now we don't have choirs. If we stink, it's because you stink. Amen. Amen. You can't go out and say, hey, the worship wasn't great today because you didn't open your mouth. You didn't praise God. You didn't pray. You know, God is concerned about your active participation in discipleship. That's what it's all about. And then what do? Equipping them to do what? To serve. Amen. Say, I'm a member of this church. I've been a member for all my life. What do you do? And if we ask you, did the Holy Spirit give you a gift? Oh, yeah. I got 20. I got 5. I know I have 3. I know I have 7. So what's your problem? You saving them at the bank? And you cannot say you don't have a pastor that equips you. I've been doing it for 38 years, and I am not ashamed of what I do. If you avail yourself, you have a group of people in this church who are going to make you and equip you for the ministry of the church, the ministry in the world, and God is going to be glorified by your life. What do we say they're going to serve as? Ministers. That's the word, ministers. You're going to serve as a minister. The word to minister is to serve. And the word to serve is when your gift meets somebody's needs. How do you know you are a minister? When the gift, I have 5 minutes. When the gift of God that he has given to you meets somebody's need. That's when you are a minister. You're not a minister because you have a reverend beside your name. That's the Greek root meaning of the word, to minister. And God has not left you without a gift. If you say you are a Christian, God has not left you without a gift. At least one. So what does that mean? It means that there's no Christian who should come to a church and just warm the chairs. Praise the Lord. I feel like preaching. As ministers, where? In the church, community, and around the world. There are some people who their ministry is not going to be limited to Village Baptist Church. I can tell you I'm one of them. I have trained over 40 ministers who are not here, who came through our church, but are no longer here. Some of them have started their own churches. Some of them are still trying to figure it out. And not just limited to this church, but I have trained hundreds and thousands of pastors. As I teach for the seminary, for over 20 years, I'm not the only one. Some of you may have gifts that transcend just the church, the local church, but reaches out to the world. So we train you, we equip you so you can serve as ministers in the church, in the community. Petaluma. Amen. I still have 3 minutes. Petaluma, you know, how do people know we're here? Just because we're singing? Just because we're dancing? Just because we're praising God? No. We have to reach out and touch people. We have to reach out where our gifts meet the needs of the people. Some of them will probably never come to church to be saved. But if you're reaching out to them, You're doing what God has called you to do. We're now in Petaluma. Stop living in Marin City. Amen. And many of when we were in Marin City, you didn't do anything there anyway. We are in Petaluma right now, and we need to reach out to Petaluma. We need to reach out to the homeless. We need to reach out to the orphans. We need to reach out to those who are hurting physically. We need to reach out and just tell people, whether they come to this church, I don't care. We just need to reach out and touch people. And what do we do to members who come here, people who come here, people who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they become part of our congregation? What do we lead them to do? To worship God in spirit and truth. To worship God. I want to tell you something. God will bless our church when we become a worshiping church. When you become a worshiping congregation, when you give all the glory to God and you can praise Him and you can honor Him, God will do His job. He'll do His work. We ought to be concerned about our worship when we become part of the congregation. Amen? If you don't want to worship God, you're probably not going to last here. Or you're just going to remain one of those who warm the pews or the chairs. We don't use pews. Okay. I'm going to check your answers later on. I'll send you an email. Looks like I'm going to do it on another Sunday, okay? When I come back, I want to talk about how are we helping people to hear the good news? How are we helping people to hear the good news? And then while we're talking about that, we're going to also talk about how are we helping people make decisions for Christ? How are we doing that? And when we say how we are, I want you to personalize it. How am I doing this? I know God is true. Let us pray.